Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way. Your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm, feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Lou Berry's train songs, and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four car garage and we're still building up. Maybe it's time we got to the basics of love. Let's go to Luke and Bach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain, out in Luke and Bach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. Let's go to Luke and Bach, Texas, William Waylon and Boy. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and the Coys. Between the Hank Williams pain songs and Jerry Jeff train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain, out in Luke and Bach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
All right, and today, this is day one officially. We're starting to do projects, organized ones. So let's get educated first. Today's jump off topic or topic period is collaborative social capital finance. Collaborative social capital finance, and then we haven't done a tiny town in a few days, so we're up to tiny town number 41. Tiny town number 41. Let's get this out the way. Bowdoin, West Virginia. Now, Luckenbach, Texas has about 9 or 10 people that live there, and it's 10 acres big. That's Luckenbach, Texas. That's why we play that all the time. But Bowdoin, Texas, now it might be a little bit larger. I haven't got the numbers on that, but you know how big it is. But Bowdoin, West Virginia, B-O-W-D-E-N, Bowdoin, West Virginia, has a population of 9 people. I don't have any history on Bowdoin. You can look it up online. If you can find the history of it, and it might be on there somewhere, but I just haven't run across it yet. But Bowdoin, West Virginia, I got a picture of it from a map point of view on our scrolling marquee. But anyway, Bowdoin, West Virginia, okay. Now, let's hit to, that's tiny town for us, number 41. The United States has 108,000 towns, give or take. We've named 41 of those. Now, listen to this. Once again, I put this stat out here before. Out of 108,000 towns in the United States, only 10 of them, have a population of 1 million or more people. So the towns with as few as one person on up to millions. So only 10 out of 108,000 have a population of 1 million or more. We're up to 41. Towns where people are not struggling. Some of these might be mortgage-free towns, which we'll be talking about that quite often. And we got a mortgage-free project that we're going to be doing here in a moment because we have to break it down. And here are some of the things we're going to cover today. Suzu, and there's information online about that. Let me quickly read. Suzu, spelled S-U-S-U. Suzu is a rotating savings and credit association. It's a form of a rotating savings and credit association. The name is used in Africa, especially West Africa and the Caribbean.
But in South America, it can also go by the name of Tanda, T-A-D-A. It can go on for the name of a hoi, which is spelled H-U-I. Let me read what that is. These are all related people. These are all forms of collaborative social capital. A hoi, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, refers to a group-based rotating savings and credits, they use the word scheme, I don't like that word though, that is popular in many immigrant and migrant communities throughout the United States and Taiwan. It is a verb, is engaging in a hoi, that's H-U-I. In fact, let me... Okay. Let me do, let me go to get the correct spelling. All right, we want to do this in, I guess, Mandarin Chinese. Missed it. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Let's see what it sounds like. All right. I got the spelling, the pronunciation correctly. Taiwan. Okay. With the Taiwanese nationality, but then genetically they're Chinese. H-U-I is pronounced we. Let me get it right again. Let me see if I hear it right. H-U-I is pronounced way. Way. H-U-I is pronounced way. So let's get down to this. It's all the same. Okay, away, spelled H-U-I in English, okay, is a Chinese verb when someone is engaging or participating in a way. All right. In West Africa, you would call it Asusa. All right, now, the basic premise of the model is a group of close friends and family members coming together once a month and contributing a fixed amount of money into a money pool. Every time, one member of the group will be chosen to withdraw the entire lump sum from the pool, often for the purpose of down payments towards houses or cars or to start a new business. When the same group of people comes together again in subsequent months, contributing the same fixed amount, another member of the group will be chosen to take the lump sum. This process is repeated until every member of the group has had a chance to withdraw a lump sum in a given month. All right. And, mutualism, we would have to take a week or two, really, to get through all this, how it's done globally, but generally, that's how it's done. Now, the way I would like to do it, and I'm thinking out loud right now, all right, is we pick out a project, and I'm going to play audio of a project that I think we should start out with, because it's a low entry to barrier to entry. And instead of being once a month, we're going to run it once a week and or every week. Excuse me, let me clean it up. We'll do it once a week. We'll have a we or Suzu set up where I'm going to use we more because I've been to China. And next time I go, I need to learn the language now. So we'll have one that's structured for every week, and that's for people who are interested in earning a consistent or building up to earn a consistent weekly income. We select a project. We build that project. Some that can be built in 1 to 3 days tops. And then we put it up for sale. And then we divide the money. The other one is we have, well, that's the weekly project. And then there's the daily project. The weekly project we can build in 1 to 3 days. The daily project is we build today, we sell today. So you get a daily income. We build today, we sell today. So I'm going to play an audio I played yesterday. Take notes on, because this is going to lay out the materials we need. Materials we need, the ballpark cost, it might cost a little bit more than what this guy is saying on here, but we'll determine the cutoff, you know, dollar amount in, and then we'll go from there.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off-grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you. And uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath the seat and bed is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see. Okay, so there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2 foot by 4 foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed, or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide, and now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So, good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light. Lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6 foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can put in another, you could pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction. And then your casters attach to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing. And the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has, this back platform is 2'6" wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1'9" wide platforms that can be raised up. And as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or a workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. Takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down, The door opens so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4 foot wide by 6 foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here. Even a tall person, fairly tall person, could sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5 foot 8 inches tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. These platforms, which I'll show you, I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end, or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here, or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end, and you could set up your cooking supplies, and you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up, and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed. And seating. You've got that nice access panel for you. You've got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out all these homes, or you have a tornado tear through a place, or you have flooding or something like that, which we've all seen in the news, happens all the time, and suddenly churches are overrun with people that don't have housing. You know, if you had a bunch of these sitting around that would sleep at least two people, you could pull these out in a small area. You could set these up and people would at least have shelter for, you know, survival until they can get into houses or shelter, bigger shelters or something like that. So that's another use for this type of structure here. So now I'm going to put the bed back on just to show you. And again, you can see this has really nice dormer windows, so you got really good light in this, and it's got an excellent sleeping space. For it would be better for one person, but it would be adequate for two people, okay? And if you got little teeny kids with you, you could put one adult and a couple of kids in there too. You know, there's enough space in there to sleep comfortably, and you've got lots and lots of headroom. You're not going to bump your head or anything while you're sleeping. Doorway, 1 foot 6 inches wide, 5 foot 3 inches to the top up here. So lots and lots of good space in this. Now I'm going to show you how this can also be modified to be used as a small business. Okay, one thing I know about people that are homeless is they're also very creative. And, a lot of them actually run little businesses in order to support themselves. A lot of them do recycling. They recycle cans and bottles and other stuff like that. Or they pick up small appliances and stuff that they may find on the streets, or books, or pictures or whatever, and they resell them, and that's how they support themselves. A lot of them are also very crafty people. They may make jewelry, or they may make wood crafts or something like that, or they may be artists. And so they have a way to support themselves, and so I think we ought to encourage that, because that helps them to develop sustainability. Not everybody is equipped to work in the regular workforce. Some people just aren't. But they're very industrious and can support themselves with a small business. And so I thought, well, this shack could also be used for setting up a small business. So what I did is I made this so that the window here can be hinged up. And I'll show this. The window on the one of the dormers, or both, can be hinged up out of the way. And then you've got room here to put a sales counter or little platform here where this person is 5'8" tall. A person can stand in this window and they can operate a small business. They can talk to customers, they can take money, whatever, working right out of this small shack. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless people. If you wanted to run a hot dog or hamburger stand or sell your crafts or your books, or, you know, whatever you want to do with this. Maybe it's a ticket stand. I don't know. This little shack could be very useful for a lot of different purposes. That's why I call it a multi-shack, is because it can be used for many different purposes. But this would be great for a homeless person that has a craft that they make or recycle products or whatever. They want to sell them. They just hinge up the window, and they set themselves up a little business here to take care of customers. Now, this also shows inside how those tables can be reorganized. Here you can see I've lifted up the bed platform to put a table on this end, another table on this end, and you can use this for cooking in here. You can see I've got a little two-burner propane stove that you can set up on one of the tables up there, so you can do your cooking. You can work on your crafts. This table just lifts off, the 2x4 lifts off if you need to get access to the door. Lots of good headroom, okay? Workspace in there. This can be modified many different ways for many different people of however you want to use it. So a very functional space in there. All right, so that is the multi-shack, all right? And let me just then hide this so you can get a better view of it. Again, can be built very inexpensively, around under $200 on casters, more expensive if you put it on a trailer. And I'm going to provide these plans for free, because this is a project that I designed specifically for churches and nonprofit organizations to build shelters. And at present in the U.S., we have about 1.6 million homeless people that just need a simple shelter to live in. Or that's about 1 out of 200 people. And that's just in the U.S. There's a lot of people in other countries that are in even worse shape. And I really think a project like this would be great for helping the homeless people to have shelter while maintaining their independence and their pride. But it could also be used as disaster relief shelters. We could easily have a major disaster in a city where we have thousands and thousands of people that suddenly are homeless and we need to provide quick shelter. These would also work for that. It would be big enough space for two people to sleep and, to take care of their basic needs. And that's what this structure is about. So I hope you like this design. It's called the Multi-Shack. You can get the plans for free on my website, simplesolarhomesteading.com. Up at the top, look at Multi-Shack. Now, there is a button there if you would like to donate. Your donations are used by me to design structures like this and build small houses. I work with a lot of homeless people that don't want to be in the system, that want to build their own off-grid cabins and houses and places like that. I help them with designs and building those projects. So any donation, if you can donate, is very appreciated and will help with those projects. All right, folks, I hope you like this project called the Multi-Shack, and have a great day.
Okay, we're going to be working on this project, so we'll be back tomorrow with it and the next day with it, Friday. Just off the top of my head, and we started 30 minutes late today simply because I put in, man, the wrong time by accident. And I had to go back in and reset it. So we've been in for 39 minutes. We're not going to do it that long today because it's just simple. Multi-Shack, we'll probably do a variation of it, trying to stick to the $200 budget. We might have to go a little bit over that, not sure. But for right now, $200. So I'm looking at if we had four people at $50 each, we can get this going. And we can make up the rules as we put this together. So I'm going out there with $50. All right, if I have to go more than that, I'll go more than that, but $50. And we can use, now the $50 can be, I'm thinking out loud now. The $50 per person, all right, now with some wees, as they call it in Taiwan, which is spelled H-U-E, or Suzu, which is, that's what they use in West Africa. We can give it to one person and they can delegate it. Or, all right, we can make a materials list, itemize it, all right, and my $50 or your $50, it can go directly to Amazon, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever the vendor is. And that $50 goes directly into the vendor for specific materials and or tools if you need it where you're in your neck of the woods. And then, of course, if we got a four-person Wii or Suzu, the same thing. All right. All the money goes towards, can go to, you know, the vendors that are online. And then those materials can be physically delivered to the actual location where we'll be building. So, all right, I've got a backyard to build. And matter of fact, I got two places to build here. So I got an enclosed room, which is called the Florida room, down in this neck of the woods. I can build there on rainy days, if it rains, and I got a backyard, nice size backyard. I'm throwing in we need 200 at least, so I'm pledging the first 50. That means we got 150 to go. So we'll see what we can pick up tomorrow, which is Thursday and Friday, and if we haven't reached 200 by Friday, then I might have to go to whole 200. Now, the whole thing is this. This will be designed as a week project. We got 3 to 5 days to build it. Lamar says we can do it in one. All right, so although we can do it in one, we're going to see what we can do in a five-day period of time. After the structure is built, we're going to put it up for sale. Facebook Marketplace, you know, eBay, whatever. And the whole idea is to, if we build it for 200, you know, if we can double our money and sell it for 400 or 500, we've gotten our original principal back, and we've got it back within a week, and then we have a profit. So that profit can be split four ways, three ways, two ways, or one. It all depends on how many takers we get by this coming. Today's Wednesday. So I'm one. I'm looking for three of us. Okay. And then when we start doing radio, the same thing. All right. Let's see. All right. That's all I got as a rant for today. Wait a minute. Before we go to the lines there. Okay, let's. I want to play this next audio before I go to the phone lines. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to start playing. Hold it if I can find it. Okay, let's play this one. We're going to play this one every day. Every day.
Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that. Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day, up popped a for sale sign, and she squealed the whole way home.
And she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500, and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account, and he said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning,
but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out like my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Hygge. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
So now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
She has 3 envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the tiny home nation.
She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same.
Which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing.
If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor Epps, 7 Eyewitness News.
Well, you've heard the phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Well, Steve Shives knows it's true. He's made a fortune thanks to some old scrap parts from a beat-up bus, and it all became a million-dollar business.
Steve Shives turned his backyard business into a million-dollar company in under 5 years.
I'm doing something that I love. I enjoy the fact that people appreciate it.
It wasn't always that way. When Steve and his wife Deirdre married, he was an unpaid associate pastor who earned money as a handyman.
I just couldn't quite make enough. And with that struggle, we started using credit cards.
I would use a credit card to buy groceries, put gas in the vehicle, and it wasn't just one credit card.
Before long, they were carrying $30,000 of debt.
I think we were just irresponsible in a lot of ways, in the ways that we spent money, because we still tithed. We were still faithful in our giving. In my mind, we were being good stewards by giving 10%. What I didn't know is that we were being bad stewards of the other 90.
When creditors started calling, Steve and Deirdre say they knew it was time to take a hard look at their finances.
I had this anger inside myself. You're the pastor of a church and you're teaching people on tithing, and you know, how in the world did you let this happen? And I said, God, I said, if you'll help me get out of this debt, I will never be in debt again, and I'll be faithful to whatever it is you give me.
Steve says that's when the Lord told him to cut his spending, increase his giving, and to tithe on the amount he needed to support his family.
God said, so if $1,000 a week is what you want, then $1,000 a week is what you have to sow towards.
I thought, well, if this is going to help us and this is what God's told you to do, then we need to do it.
Steve began to work with their creditors to pay down their debt. Several companies gave him the option to settle for far less than he owed. With their debt reduced, the couple increased their giving again.
As we just began to prosper, you know, we'd give more and more, and like, okay, give $150 this week.
Steve says that's when he learned that good stewardship can mean implementing an idea that comes from God.
I got the idea for building this little camping trailer. I built it and sold it on eBay in a day and a half. I started getting messages from people saying, would you consider building another one?
the company Runaway Campers was born. Within 3 months, they sold 9 more campers. The following year, they sold 140. To date, more than 1,500 people have bought one of Steve's trailers. Many weekends, Steve and Deirdre attend rallies to meet people who bought the campers. And when they do, they're quick to tell them about what God has done in their lives.
And they're like, tell me the story. And I started telling the story, and I've told it hundreds of times. We can say, look at what God has done in our life, not because we're living the American dream or we're making lots of money, but look at the joy that comes when you really just totally give yourself to God. He'll give you more, so much more than you could ask or imagine.
Just look at the joy when you give yourself totally to God.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, so Jamarian Stiles with no hands and Lauren Nelson with, what the hell, man? She's only 12 years old now. She's not 13 yet. She's only 12 years old now. It was 11 when she, 10 or 11 when she did the story. So if she can do what she did, Jamarian Stiles can do what she did, we can do what we did. We're looking for three more people that will pony up $50. Now, it might be more than that, but we're going to figure, you know, look at, because that audio was done a while ago, but right now. Anyway, but I'll play this the first 50. And then Friday, we start buying stuff. Start buying stuff this weekend. Okay, 813 area code, are you there? He might not be there. Okay, quiet day. All right, so, what I shall do, because this is our main focus in the direction that we're going, in preparation for radio. We'll still be doing these daily though. Okay, we got a $200 project. The goal is to build it and sell it. We cover our initial investment and share the profits, split the profits. Now, as for me, I'm doing it again because I'm gonna recycle my 50 and then build another one every week. I'm looking to earn daily and weekly income from building something simple that can be built in 1 to 3 days and sold that week. That's the plan. And we're using collaborative and social capital finance to do it. All right, well, no callers for today. On that note, we're going to knock off early. We'll be back. We'll be back with the same thing tomorrow. You know, if I can't get any other pledgers by Friday, then I'll be building it by myself. I'll document it, and then hopefully we'll get takers from. Because once we hit radio, we'll have takers in. But anyway, that's cool. Anyway, we got day one. Tomorrow's day two.